Hey everybody, welcome back to the Fat Loss Simplified podcast, where we teach you how you can lose 20 or more pounds of fat, heal your relationship with food, and be proud of the way you look in the mirror without obsessing over food choices, spending hours in the gym, or giving up your social life. And today, we're talking about something that I'm pretty excited about, and that is intuitive eating. But I want you to listen carefully, because intuitive eating is not as simple or sometimes all it's cracked up to be. But before we do that, I wanted to remind you of some opportunities that are available for you here at the show. First, the most important thing that you can do for yourself is to go ahead and hit the subscribe or follow button. That way, you're guaranteed to continue getting episodes as we produce them delivered straight to your favorite podcast player, as well as it lets the podcast players know that we're valuable and it pushes it out to other listeners so that they can learn as well. In addition to that, if you're listening along and you're thinking to yourself, you know what, I really could use some help when it comes to figuring out the fat loss puzzle for me, then go ahead, look in the show notes, and you can schedule a free lifestyle audit. During the free lifestyle audit, it's just the time for us to sit down, have a conversation, talk about what you've tried in the past, what has and hasn't worked, and get you pointed in the right direction so you can start seeing results and looking and feeling your best as soon as possible. And with all that being said, let's get right into the show. All right, and today we're talking about intuitive eating. Now, I do have to warn you right up front. When it comes to intuitive eating, I'm going to tell you an approach that you can use if you don't want to track macros. However, I'm going to be honest with you, the fastest path to seeing success with intuitive eating is through first tracking your macros. Now, that might seem odd and strange, but let me explain. Imagine that you are a school teacher and that you are teaching first grade. And in first grade, you are teaching specifically math class. And you're teaching this one first grader in particular. And this one first grader refuses to show his work. And yet this first grader is consistently getting his answers wrong in math class. And so you ask him, hey, let's just make up a name. Hey, Tommy, you consistently get your answers wrong. Why don't you show your work? And he says, well, teacher, the problem is with showing my work is that when it comes to me, I find that showing my work is obsessive, I find it's tedious, and I really find that it's unnecessary. And I say that because that's the reason that most people give for not wanting to track calories or macros in the first place. But in this instance, you're looking at Tommy because you're the school teacher, and you say, well, Tommy, there's no way for us to fix why you're getting the answers wrong because you're not showing your work. We don't know how you're getting the wrong answers. And Tommy turns back and he says, yeah, but I'm pretty confident that I really know how to intuitively do math. And yet as the teacher, you're saying, you know what? That's just not the case. It's not the case because you're consistently getting the answers wrong. Now, it would be a different case, right? If you're a school teacher and you do have that brilliant child, and that child is getting the answers correctly, consistently, and a child that gets the answers correctly, consistently over a long period of time, you begin to understand, okay, this kid actually does know how to do intuitive math. But that's very, very rare, although it does happen. That's very, very rare. And in order to get good at intuitive eating, just like Tommy needs to show his work and practice at getting better at math, so somebody that is looking to be a good, skilled, intuitive eater needs to practice the skill of eating the right foods in the right amounts for them over a long enough period of time that they learn what those foods look like so that they can consistently get those foods without having to track and use a food scale. Now, I also want to say that for those people that are out there, and there's a variety of reasons that somebody might not want to track macros, but somebody that's out there and thinking to themselves, you know what? Tracking macros is obsessive. I can't get the exact amount of proteins, carbs, fats, and calories. And, you know, I couldn't be bothered with any of that. To that, I would just want to share my recent experience with you. Now, if you're somebody that's been listening to this podcast for any length of time, you know that back in January, I mentioned that I was going to go into a fat loss phase. Well, I actually have a confession to make to you, and that is that I actually did not go into that fat loss phase until the beginning of last week. And the reasons for that are various. There was a lot of business demands. There was a lot of other things going on in my life. And because of that, I was just focused on maintaining my weight. You know, it's not like I just gave up and, you know, let things go wild or crazy. But the truth about fat loss is that you kind of do have to be in a mental space for it. So what I was focused on is that I actually intended to go into that fat loss phase in January, but I was faced with a lot of things in life that I really just couldn't get into that mental space, and I just didn't want to, right? And I was okay with that. And it's okay to not always be losing fat, right? I was focused on how can I maintain my weight? But now I have taken care of some of those things, and I'm now in a place where mentally I can get in the zone, get in the game of losing fat for myself. Now, it's not that I have a lot to lose. It's that I actually haven't tried to lose any fat or haven't really paid any attention for the last 3 years. And because of that, I have probably put on about 10 pounds over the last 3 years. Now, some of that is not fat. Some of it's muscle. Some of it's other things. But, you know, I'm going to start tracking and I'm going to start paying attention so I can really dial in my physique. And you know what? I probably won't get down to the weight I was before because I do have a feeling. I've been working hard in the gym, keeping my protein intake up. I have wanted and I have made it a goal to build muscle. So I'm not really concerned about getting down to a certain weight, but I do kind of want to just play around a little bit and see what I can do as far as fat loss goes and see if I can optimize the way I look when I step onto the beach this summer. But with all that being said, because of that, I started tracking my macros last week. And I just want to share with you the last 3 days of data that I have for myself. Over the last 3 days, I have consistently hit my protein goal. 2 days ago, I overate on my protein by 0.3, which who cares about 0.3? That's not a big deal. I actually did not get enough carbs. There was 40.7 carbs left over at the end of my day. And then I overate on fats. Yesterday, I almost ate all of my protein. I had 17.6 grams left in my day. Again, I underate on carbs. I had 77.7 grams left at the end, but I overate on fats again. And then today, I am on track to overeat my protein by 0.1, which again, 0.1, who cares? And again, I'm probably going to undereat on my carbs again by 27.5 grams, but I'm going to overeat on my fats again by 15.7 grams. And guess what? I don't really care. And here's why I don't care. When I look over the last 3 days, I consistently hit my protein goal within an acceptable range. If you notice, the only day that I missed hitting like my exact number was yesterday, and I only missed it by 17.6 grams. Now it's my goal to get 1 gram of protein for every pound of body weight that I want to be. So I'm looking to lose 10 pounds. So I'm looking to consume 185 grams of protein, and I missed 185 grams by 17.6. Now, if you listen back to our protein episode, you'll notice that I said back then that even though you want to shoot for 1 gram of protein per pound of your goal weight, that if you're within a certain range, it doesn't really matter. And that range is somewhere between 0.7 to 1 gram. And guess what? I did not hit my goal by 17.6 grams, but I'm still within the range of 0.7 to 1, so I don't care. I hit it pretty much perfectly with 0.3 variance on Tuesday, and today I'm going to hit it pretty perfectly again, and I'm going to have, you know, 0.1 extra grams, but who cares? 0.3, 0.1, that doesn't matter. Now, you might say, you know what, Bryce, you did not eat enough carbs yesterday, you did not eat enough carbs Tuesday, and you did not eat enough carbs today. Yes, but you'll also notice that I overate on fats. And here's why I don't care about that. Because when I look at my overall calories, on Tuesday, I had 37 calories left. Yesterday, I had 27 calories left. And today, I'm going to hit my calories within 0.8 of calories. And again, I wasn't obsessive about that. I just have a pretty good idea about what it takes to hit my calories. So I did not get like my prescribed amount of carbs, but I did get enough fats to compensate for the calories. And really, the two numbers that really matter when you're trying to get fat loss is, did you get your protein? Because that's super important because it supports muscle growth and muscle maintenance. And then the second number is, did I get my calories within range? You don't want to undereat because, again, I've talked about the adaptive process. If I'm already in a deficit, I need to hit that deficit number because if I go too low, my body's going to adapt too fast. I'm going to work myself into a hole, and then it's going to be harder for me to lose fat, which I don't want. So I do want to get close to my calorie goal, which I did. because even though I didn't eat enough carbs, I ate enough fat to compensate for that. And I'm even going to go back a day to Monday, and the opposite was actually true. I had 17.7 grams of protein left in my day, which again, I'm fine with, because that's within the 0.7 to 1 gram range. I actually overate my carbs by 41.9 grams, but I did not get the prescribed amount of fats in. And again, I don't really care, because I got my protein within an acceptable range, and my overall calories, I had 70 calories remaining in my day, and that's fine with me because, again, that's within an acceptable range of my calorie deficit. Now, I mention all of that to say that if your reason for not wanting to track macros and track calories is because you think it's obsessive, it is probably because you're approaching it with an obsessive mindset, or because you are formally involved in a program that told you that you have to hit every single number perfectly, when there are certain ranges that are perfectly fine and acceptable, and if you fall within them, you're going to be great. And there's absolutely nothing to worry about. Now, some of you that maybe have been obsessive in the past are thinking, well, Bryce, you're not going to see results that way. Well, again, I started last Monday. My goal is to lose 1 pound of body fat per week. And by doing that, you know, I'm keeping up with my strength training. I'm making sure I'm getting enough protein. And since last Monday, I have dropped 1.75 pounds, which means that I am perfectly on track to lose 1 pound over the last 2 weeks, 1 pound per week, I should say. I'm on track to lose 1 pound per week over the last 2 weeks, which means that I am perfectly on track to hit my target of a 10-pound weight loss over the next 10 weeks. And when I hit the beach this summer to reveal all the hard work of building muscle that I've put in. And I am perfectly fine with that because I know that by losing 1 pound of fat per week, that I am not being overly aggressive in my calorie deficit. I'm doing enough to make a difference, but I'm not being aggressive enough that I'm going to lose muscle, because once I lose muscle, then it becomes harder for me to lose body fat over time. And that's just something that I totally want to avoid. And so I'm not being obsessive. I know what ranges I need to be in. I know what things I have flex in. And guess what? I'm being flexible with those things. I'm hitting my protein, I'm hitting my calories, and I'm being flexible with my carbs and fats, because I know that some days I'm going to prefer to have carbs, some days I'm going to prefer to have fats. And I'm okay with that. And I don't need to be obsessive over it. I can have the foods I enjoy and allow myself to have that flexibility throughout the process. Now, with all that being said, the only reason I mention all of that is to say that if you want to be a good intuitive eater, it is usually the best option to start with tracking your macros, tracking your protein, tracking your calories. However, there are some extenuating circumstances out there where that might not be possible. For example, I am currently working with somebody who gets their food straight from the farm, and they don't have nutrition labels for all their foods. And you know what? We're going to work with that. And somebody like that, you know, they're getting great quality food, but they don't really have the information that they need to work off of. I'm going to be honest and say, you know what? It's going to be harder and it's going to take more time to learn how to be an intuitive eater because you're not able to be as precise at the beginning. The more precise you can be at the beginning, the shorter path you have to being an intuitive eater. Just like Tommy at school, the more effectively he's able to show his work to the teacher, the more the teacher is going to be able to help him and the faster path it's going to be to correct the errors that Tommy is having. And so if you're an intuitive eater, or you're trying to be an intuitive eater, and you have not been successful, that could be why. It could be that, hey, you don't have the skill, and maybe you need to show your work for a while until you get used to it, until you really know what the right foods and the right amounts look like for you. Now, with all that being said, let's actually talk about intuitive eating. Okay, so we know that we want to get somewhere between, you know, 0.7 to 1 gram of protein per pound of our goal weight. And so if we're not tracking, we can put these numbers generally in our mind. Generally speaking, 4 ounces of meat is going to be equal to 25 grams of protein. So if I do the math, I eat my breakfast, and my breakfast right now consists of a bowl of oatmeal with a scoop of protein powder and 3 eggs. So when I eat that breakfast, that automatically brings me up to 50 grams of protein for breakfast. So after breakfast, I'm already at 50 grams of protein for my day. And I know that generally because an egg is 6 grams of protein. I had 3 of those. So that's 18 grams. A scoop of protein powder is about 25 grams. And then in my oatmeal, that's also about 5 grams of protein as well. And so generally speaking, I add all those things up in the amounts that I'm eating them, and that brings me to 50 grams of protein. Now, you might be eating a different breakfast, and just figure out what that breakfast is for you and how many grams of protein that is. And once you figure that out, then you figure out, okay, now based off of that, I know how much more meat I have to eat throughout the rest of the day. Now, just to make the math easy, I had 50 grams for breakfast. Let's just say that my goal weight was 175, which would be really small for me, and so that's not my goal. But let's just say it is because the math is easier. I eat 50 grams for breakfast. That brings me to the point where I need 125 grams left in the rest of my day, which if I know that 4 ounces of meat is generally speaking 25 grams of protein, then I'm looking for 1.25 pounds of meat that I'm gonna eat throughout the rest of the day. That means that I'm going to eat either 4 ounces of meat 5 times, or I'm going to eat a larger amount of meat for 3 times, you know, whatever that looks like for me. But I'm shooting for 1.25 pounds of meat throughout the rest of my day will bring me up to 125 grams of protein. And that's actually the hardest one to figure out because that's the most important one. We want to make sure that we're hitting our protein numbers for muscle building and muscle maintenance. But once we've figured out what that looks like and how to get that amount of food into the rest of our day, we're going to structure the rest of our meals around that. And whenever we eat our meals, we're going to actually consume the protein first because we're going to consume our meal in the order of importance. Because if we reach a point that we're satisfied and we don't want to eat anymore, we want to make sure that we ate the important things first. So we set aside, that's the amount of protein that I need. That's what I'm shooting for. The second thing that we want to pay attention to is fiber. And so when we're constructing our plate, we're going to put the required amount of protein on there. Then we're going to say, okay, I want about 1/3 of the volume of my plate to be vegetables. And that's going to generally take care of our fiber, give or take, depending on how your body feels and how it treats you. You'll either need to add more fiber or take fiber away. If you're tracking, somewhere between 25 grams if you're a woman, up to 45 grams if you're a larger male, to get the amount of fiber that you need. But if you're not tracking, then stick to 1/3 of the volume of your plate should be vegetables. And if you have digestive problems, then you're going to adjust the amount of fiber that you're consuming. Now, once you've taken care of those two things, again, when you eat your meal, you're going to eat the protein first. You're going to then move to fiber. You're going to eat the fiber second. Then you're going to move to your starchy carb. And that's going to be potatoes. That's going to be rice, sweet potatoes, you know, those types of things. Whole natural foods that are your starchy carbs. And those, when you construct your plate, are going to be about the size of a fist. So go ahead and make a fist, look at your fist, and that's about the amount of rice, or that's about the amount of potato or whatever carb that you're consuming. When it comes to fats, I'm not really going to worry about it unless you're eating like only chicken breast. And the reason that I don't really worry about fats is because, for example, for me right now, I am in a fat loss phase since last Monday. And when I'm in a fat loss phase, I really want to enjoy the food that I'm eating as much as possible. And so I'm not really trying to eat chicken breast because I don't enjoy it as much as, for example, chicken thighs. And so I've been consuming chicken thighs because they have a higher fat content. And I'm not really worried about getting fats on my plate because I know that I'm eating eggs in the morning. They're whole eggs, and so I get a great amount of fats there. I know that throughout the day I'm eating chicken thighs and I'm getting a good amount of fat there. And some people enjoy red meats, and so they're eating red meats and they're getting the fat that they need there. So I'm not really too concerned about that. And most people are, you know, spraying oils into their pans, and so I'm not really concerned about the fat for that reason. However, if you're limiting yourself to chicken breast for whatever reason, maybe you just enjoy chicken breast and you want to eat that, and that's totally fine. You can do that. In that case, if you're eating only chicken breast, your fats are probably going to be pretty low, which means that you're going to add to your meal about a thumb size of fats, whether that be butter, oil, whatever that fat of choice is, it's going to be about the size of your thumb. Now, what you're going to do is you're going to be consistent with measuring your food that same way, because again, you still have to have some kind of consistency, but you're going to measure your food the same way by getting the correct amount of fiber, the correct amount of protein, the correct amount of starchy carbs, and you're going to consistently consume that for a couple weeks, track your weight, and if your weight is staying the same, you know you're a maintenance. If it's decreasing, you know you're in a deficit. And if it's increasing, you know you're in a surplus. If you end up in a surplus and that's not where you want to be, then think to yourself, okay, based on the order of importance, protein, fiber, carbs, and fats, what can I remove in order to get myself into more of a deficit? Well, you can remove either one serving of fats if you're adding fats to your plate, or you can remove one serving of carbs. And the opposite's also true. If you're losing more than 1 pound per week, then you're probably losing muscle mass. So let's say you go a week and you lost like 3 pounds and you're like, uh-oh, I actually need to add food back in. Then you're actually going to add one serving of carbs and fats as well. Now, when I say remove and add one serving, I'm talking about removing one serving per day, right? Because we're not making drastic changes. We're trying to slowly move the needle to where we need to be. So what some people will do is they'll be like, oh no, I'm in a surplus. So now I'm not going to eat carbs at all. And that's not the move either, because that's too much of a drastic change. Because you think about it this way, if you're removing one serving per day, not per meal, but per day, then over a 7-day period, that's a significant reduction in the amount of overall calories that you're eating. So you don't need to make like these huge drastic swings, these huge drastic changes. You just need to take a look at things and objectively say, okay, what is the thing that I can change? What one serving do I want to remove per day in order to start seeing the needle move? And really, it just comes down to that. It comes down to being consistent with measuring your food, even intuitively, measuring your food in the same exact way every single time, tracking the results, and then making minor adjustments so that you can start to see the results that you want to see. And so again, if you're not going to track your calories, you're not going to track your macros, then this would be the way to go about it. However, if you really want to speed up your results, I would recommend starting with macros and giving yourself some grace. You don't have to hit all your numbers perfectly. You just have to be aware of what are the ranges that are acceptable and what am I really trying to accomplish? I'm really trying to just be in a calorie deficit, not being judgmental about whether or not I hit my carbs and fats perfectly, because at the end of the day, that kind of comes down to preference and what you prefer to eat. Again, some days I prefer higher carbs, and so that's what I go for. Some days I prefer higher fats, and so that's what I go for. And I'm not really concerned about how many I'm getting of each one as long as my overall calories are in control. And then I am trying to hit my protein targets somewhere between 0.7 and 1 gram. If I'm within that range, then I'm not sweating it. It's all good. And so that's the place to start if you can, and if you can't, then start following those intuitive eating tips to get you started and get things moving in the right direction. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, you know what would be really helpful? It would be really helpful if there was an already pre-made list of higher protein options, starchy carbs, vegetables. If there was already a pre-made list, that would be really helpful. Well, if you're thinking that, I do have a pre-made list already made out for you. Just go ahead and send me an email and I'd be happy to shoot that over to you. And then you can start putting these things into practice and seeing results as soon as possible. With all that being said, I hope that you found all of that information helpful, and we'll talk to you next time, and I hope you have a great day. Oh, and P.S., always take a look down in the show notes below, as there is links to my other social media handles. You can go and follow me other places, as well as there's probably a resource down there that'll be helpful for you.